friends, you're very welcome. I'm Adrian Flannelly, and this is our Christmas show for 2019. And, friends, Ornie Sheridan, who is president of Flannelly Promotions and Irish Radio Network USA, irishradio.com, and myself, Adrian Flannelly, want to wish you the merriest and the best of what Christmas can bring to you. Wherever you are in the world, our program, our Christmas show, and all other shows are simulcast throughout the world. So wherever you are, happy Christmas from all of us here in New York. I said here in New York, but actually, guess what? If you can't be in New York for Christmas, where would my other choice be? Okay, Ireland, yes. So a very special hello and happy Christmas from Ireland. And as I've been doing for the last 5 decades, friends, I think probably the way to start off this program might be a song in Irish. As Gaeilge. You know the song. You probably know the Clancy Brothers did this 50 years ago. Let's go to Ireland, Donna, and she has some Christmas wishes, which we bring to you as well.
And the kids
Sally O'Brien, okay, getting ready for Christmas. Yes, she's. Do it. Tell us. Flannelly Show from New York City and Ireland. Record-breaking numbers of tourists from all around the world, but particularly from North America. And very good news, Ireland is only a fantastic place to be. For Christmas, for New Year's, or any time, but for that matter. Okay, best way, Ireland.com. The group is Anuna. This comes from a Christmas album, A Celtic Heartbeat Christmas.
Thank you. closer to the fire, my son, and stay a while with me. I'd like to talk to Christmas time when I was young and free. The holly gleaming on the wall, a turf fire burning bright, the candles on the windowsill that fill the world with light.
Tommy Mulvihill.
The virgin snow upon the thatch, the robin's chirpy song, the postman whistling gaily as he trudged his way along. The little church down in the glen, the people's eyes aglow, the chanting of the midnight choir, all heads bowing low.
Christmas in Kerry long ago, and while we're in Kerry, well, wait a minute now. Maybe we should bring you a tune or a song or a recitation maybe from Kerry.
Happy Christmas. Nollig fe washi eve gulir. On Christmas Eve, when I was young, the way we look forward to twilight, for when darkness fell, it was Christmas night, the greatest night of all the year. We young lads would be up at the crack of dawn that morning to have the house ready for the night. Berry holly would have to be cut and brought in to deck out the windows, the top of the dresser, along the back of the settle and the clevy. We'd bring in ivy too, and put a sprig of laurel behind the pictures above the lintel of the door and around the fireplace. But we wouldn't overdo it, or if we did, my mother would make us cut it down a bit, reminding us that she'd like to feel that she was in her own house for Christmas and not in the middle of a wood. Well, the transformation we could bring about in the kitchen with all that greenery. But we weren't finished yet. The Christmas candles would have to be prepared. These candles were of white tallow, as thick as the handle of a spade and nearly as tall. In some houses, they'd scoop out a hole in a big turnip and they'd put the candle sitting into that. A big crock we'd use, we'd put the candle standing into it, and then we'd pack it around with sand. And when the candle was firm in position, we'd spike sprigs of holly or laurel into the sand about the candle. And we'd have colored paper, too, to put around the outside of the crock to take the bare look off it. With that same colored paper, the girls in the family, if they were anywhere handy, could make paper flowers to decorate the holly. Then what would cap it all is if you had a length of young ivy and spiral it up around the candle. It looked lovely. That done, we'd go through the same maneuver until there was a candle in a crock for every window in the house. Then we'd be praying for night to fall, for you couldn't see the right effect until the candles were lit. That honor of lighting the candles would fall to the youngest in the house. My father would lift him up, saying, "In Anamanahar, in the name of the Father and of the Son." And when the child had blessed himself, he would put the lighting spill to the candle, and from that candle the other candles would be lit, and we'd be half daft with excitement, enjoying the great blaze of light. There was no electricity at that time, running from the rooms to the kitchen and out into the yard to see what the effect was like from the outside. Then, when we'd get tired of looking at the candles on our own windows, we'd turn and try to name the neighbors' houses as the bunches of lights came on. Two windows here and three windows there, across the dark countryside and away up to the foot of the hills. And as sure as anything, someone would be late, and we'd rush into my mother saying, "Faithin, there's no light on yet in Kelly's." "Go down on your knees," my mother would say. Well, the time she'd pick for it, just as the salt ling was ready, and the white onion sauce, and the potato steaming over the fire. But I suppose there had been no religion in the world only for the women. The wives driving their husbands out to confession, up to the altar rails and down on their knees to say the rosary. My father, his mind a thousand miles away, doing 11 Hail Marys to the decade and 12 Hail Marys to the decade. And my mother saying, "Glory, Ned," and he taking that for encouragement and doing 13 to the decade. The rosary in our house didn't end at 5 decades, not at all. After the Hail Holy Queen, my mother would branch into the trimmings. "Come, Holy Ghost, send down those beams which sweetly flow in silent streams." My mother would pray for everyone, in sickness and in need. She'd pray for the poor souls and the sinful soul that was at that very moment trembling before the judgment seat above. She'd pray for the sailor on the sea, protect him from the tempest and bring him safely home. She'd pray for the lone traveler on the highway, and of course, she'd pray for our emigrants. And last of all, she would pray for the members of her own family. God bless and save us all. St. Patrick, Bridget and Columbkill guard each wall. May the Queen of Heaven and the angels bright keep us in our house from all harm this night. Our knees would be aching as we got up off the floor. And it would take my father a while to get the prayer arch out of his back. Well, we wouldn't be sitting down to the supper when my mother had blessed herself again, a preliminary to grace before meals. And you could hardly blame my father for losing his patience. "Is it in a monastery we are?" he'd say. "Haven't we done enough praying for one night?" After the supper, there was Christmas cake for anyone with a sweet tooth. My father would never look at the Christmas cake. His eye would be on the big earthenware jar at the bottom of the kitchen, and it would be a great relief to him when my mother would say to us, "Go out there, one of you, and tell the neighboring men to come in for a while." That was the custom that night, for near neighbors to visit each other's houses. In a while's time, the men had come, and at the first lag in the conversation, my father would take the cork off the jar, and he'd fill out drinks for everyone. And the men, you know, by the way, not noticing what was going on. And then when they'd get the glasses, very surprised, they'd say, "What's this? What's this for?" "Go on and take it," my father would say. "It is Christmas night and more look to us." Then the men's faces would light up, and lifting their glasses high, they'd begin a chorus of, "Happy Christmas, Ned! Happy Christmas, everyone!" And the same to E-men, my father would answer. "May we all be alive again, this time 12 months. And my mother, who was never very happy in the presence of strong drink, would direct her gaze in the direction of the Christmas candle and say, "The grace of God to us all."
Eamon Kelly there. Ireland's greatest has been Shanachie, storyteller, actor, And indeed, somebody is no longer with us, but his legacy, particularly around this time of the year, is fairly evident in the song's way, or the his recitation there, named Christmas Eve. This comes from a contemporary Celtic Christmas. Here's indeed the song is every bit of it okay. The song, of course, is Happy Christmas, and it's to John Munnerly and his band. This time of year, we probably reflect on, you know, particularly entertainers, you know, from Ireland, from choirs, you know, so many memories coming from Ireland. And of course, for those who, you know, have been around a good number of decades, we will remember, and indeed we would, if we don't remember personally, we would remember and be told by the generations before us that Ireland's greatest tenor, going back to the late 30s, 40s, was none other than John Count McCormick. The Count came from Rome. He pretty high honor at that. He was from Athlone, and he made his mark throughout the world. He was the Irish Caruso of the time. And then, of course, there have been many, many tenors along the way, including one, indeed, Frank Patterson. But when Frank Patterson came along, many compared Frank to Andy John McCormick, and Frank had no problem with that whatsoever. Very high compliment. But I thought maybe what we might do today is to take, let's say, if we get Frank Patterson and John McCormick in a duet. Wouldn't that be something? Okay, let's try it. From a wire recorder of John McCormick.
version.
That was a good idea or not, but hey, neither of them are here. God bless both of them. Okay, and friends, we want to again let you know that this is our Christmas show. It is broadcast from New York. However, Anya Sheridan is in New York, though she's heading our way. I think when this program is over. And but from Ireland and, of course, from New York, we want to bring you our very warmest Christmas wishes. Let's see what the Hibernian Festival singers are up to.
Thank you.
And yes, may all your wishes come true. Or the Hibernians. The Hibernian Festival Singers, they're absolutely fantastic. Okay, this time each year I look for a better rendition of the song, Pretty Paper, and still coming back to... Okay, for those who would like to know who the singer is Liam O'Neeson. Okay. Really knows him. Okay, will you take it away?
To write, I love you. Pretty paper, pretty ribbon, a blue. Crowded streets, busy feet, hustled by whom? Downtown shoppers, Christmas is nigh. There he sits all alone on the sidewalk, hoping that you won't pass him by. Should you stop? Better not. Much too busy. You'd better hurry. My, how time does fly. And in the distance, the ringing of laughter. And in the midst of the laughter, he cried. Pretty paper, pretty ribbon. Wrap your presents to your darling from you. Pretty pencils to write, I love you. Oh, pretty paper, pretty ribbon of blue.
Anybody want to take on that song? There is a Willie Nelson song. You know, we're open here to change, but it's a slow change. But anyway, we're taking bids for next year. All right, the Christmas reel here. Christmas time in Ireland. I'm Patty Noonan. It's a great song. I believe it was written by Aaron's Tony Kenny. And this is called An Angel for Sarah. And it is a song that has an awful lot of meaning for those of us who may have a child, even an adult, you know, who has with disability. Okay, we'll get Cahill done to sing this one. It's called An Angel for Sarah.
Yesterday my wife made white little angels. A little boy helped her put them on the tree. Sunshine comes in the strangest ways. When he turned to his mommy and he said,
count our blessings, and I want to tell you there's a singer up in heaven there, and I would probably play her song anyway, but if I didn't, she'd find me even in Ireland, and she would give me clout. If I didn't play one of her Christmas songs anyway, Sister Mary Beata Garrity. Okay, it's coming. Okay, wait. Watch your hurry.
And I follow thee.
Okay. Do you hear that, sister? Yes. Okay. The Flannery Show, coming to you from New York, and I'm in Ireland.
Christmas time in Ireland, in the days when I was young, when we gathered round at the fire, and the old songs they were sung. To hear my dear old mother tell of bygone days of yore, and the way that she spent Christmas in dear old Lennemore. Christmas time was different in the days of yesteryear, with candles in the window and the bells rang loud and clear. All the family gathered, they came from far and wide, so we the all for a joyous Christmas time. All around the pictures, red was very bright, decorations they made.
Artists and entertainers and musicians and singers who were born and raised in Ireland, they kind of have to spread their wings. A lot of them obviously wound up in New Zealand, Australia, North America, and of course, as we know, in England. Such is the singer we're about to hear now. He left Waterford, and at an early age he headed to England and became a huge success as a singer, and Well, here's a Christmas song, one of many, and I think you'll enjoy it. It's When a Child is Born.
A ray of hope flickers in the sky. A tiny star lights up way up high. All across the land dawns a brand new morn. This comes to pass where the child is born. A silent wind sails the seven seas. The winds of change whisper in the trees. And the walls of doubt crumble, tossed and torn. This comes to pass where the child is born. A rosy dawn settles all around. You've got the feel you're on solid ground. For a spell or two, no one seems forlorn. This comes to pass when a child is born. It's all a dream, an illusion now. It must come true sometime soon, somehow. All across the land dawns a brand new morn. This comes to pass where the child is born.
Friends, you're listening to the Flannelly Show. It is our Christmas show. Of course, all of our programs come from New York City, capital of the world. And, we're thrilled that you have been with us. Many, many of you have been with us for now 5 decades, or pretty close to that anyway. Okay. Here's one of the best internationally recognized violinists, fiddlers, and indeed her parents are from Knock in County Mayo. Eileen Ivers has a CD, and it's called On Nullag, An Irish Christmas. And she's going to come, these are her own compositions here. Christmas Eve, I believe it is. Anyway, Eha Nullag, Christmas Night. Thank you. convince Eileen Ivers. Okay, in my headphones, I can hear Anya Sheridan from New York sing. No, that's not Anya. That's James Goldie. All right, Anya, what? Oh, yes. Well, I should chill now because Anya has come to link up Kevin O'Connor. Yes, bringing news and sports from Ireland. From Ron Morgan, County Wicklow. Okay, I can take a hint. I'll get off the line. You're going to take over from here. Yes, indeed. Ronald Show, IrishRadio.com, worldwide.
Okay, Kevin, I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. And Johnson and firstly, a happy Christmas to you and all your listeners. Prime Minister Johnson and Taoiseach Cash over PM's risky promise. United Ireland could rejoin Commonwealth, says Fianna Fáil TD. DUP accused of blocking North deal. Fianna Fáil leader warns about untenable dole and remembering revolutionary events of 100 years ago today. Some of the headline makers is British Open golfer 33-year-old Shane Lowry from Offaly is crowned Irish Sports Star of the Year, the victory in which he became the fourth Irishman to win the Open after Fred Daly, 1947, Porrick Harrington twice, and Darren Clark, is believed to have earned him more than $10 million. And in the Interpro rugby battle last night, Leinster, the holders, had too much power for Ulster, running in 8 tries to maintain their unbeaten record this season. Ulster had a 6-try haul and won a bonus point. The final score, Leinster 54, Ulster 42. And this afternoon, Connacht are at home to Munster in what should be a stormer. There's only 1 point between them in the Pro 14 League, and Munster are slight favourites to win after their excellent display against European champions Saracens last week in the European Cup. In the English Premiership, just one result, Everton 0, Arsenal 0. Latest scores, Aston Villa 0, Southampton 2, Newcastle 0, Crystal Palace 0, Norwich 1, Wolves 0, and Sheffield United 1, Brighton 0, Bournemouth 0, Burnley 0. And the Scottish Premiership, latest score, Celtic 1, Aberdeen 1. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson has insisted Britain will not follow any EU rules after Brexit as he set up a showdown with Brussels over a trade deal. Mr. Johnson made clear he would pursue a hard Brexit by saying there would be no argument between the two sides, defined the EU's claim it was a must for any future relationship. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar warned Mr. Johnson's approach poses a significant risk to Ireland's economy. We don't want to trade with a Britain, he said, that undercuts us, that has lower financial standards, lower product standards, lower health and safety standards. The harder approach is a risk to us, he said. Mr. Varadkar said it would be a tall order to strike a trade deal between the EU and the UK before the withdrawal agreement expires in December 2020. And a Fianna Fáil TD has suggested that a united Ireland could rejoin the Commonwealth, make July 12 a public holiday, and reserve 30% of cabinet positions for unionists. Wexford TD, new TD there, Malcolm Byrne, said he was supportive of his Fianna Fáil colleague Stephen Donnelly's call for preparations for an Irish unity referendum to be ramped up in the wake of the UK general election. Mr. Byrne said that there needed to be an agreed Ireland which would involve difficult decisions so that people from a unionist background felt part of a new country. That may mean, he said, a new national anthem for Ireland, considering membership of the Commonwealth. Do we need to look at making July 12 a public holiday on the whole island and having a greater understanding of that period in both Irish and European history, he asked. The late Albert Reynolds, former Prime Minister, once suggested that we could reserve 30% of cabinet places for those from a unionist tradition. That could prove to be a very visionary statement, said Mr. Byrne. And speaking of the North, the Northern Secretary Julian Smith and Tony Blair Simon Coveney have blamed the negative reaction of the DUP for scuppering a deal that could restore the Northern Executive and Assembly before Christmas. Mr. Smith said last night that four of Northern Ireland's five main parties were prepared to sign up to a document outlining an agreement to reinstate Stormont by Monday after a hiatus of almost 3 years. Ratcheting up the pressure on the DUP, he indicated that the British government was prepared to provide significant funding to deal with issues such as Northern Ireland's health service crisis, which saw nurses go on strike this week. Talks on restoring power sharing began on Monday following the UK general election, and Mr. Smith said he wanted to publish the text of an agreement last night or today, but that the DUP was not prepared to sign up to it at this stage. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has challenged Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin to force some of these TDs to support the government in Dáil confidence motions if he wants an agreed general election date. The leaders of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have recently traded sharp words as they begin to oversee the end of the confidence and supply agreement, with many in Fine Gael believing Mr. Varadkar is moving towards a February election. The Taoiseach discussed the timing of an election with ministers at a private meeting this week. Some ministers have speculated that Mr. Varadkar may even dissolve the Dáil before he returns after the Christmas recess on January 15. Mr. Varadkar, in the private exchanges, discussed various options, but did not express a preference. He pointed out to his ministers that two Fianna Fáil Taoiseach, Bertie Ahern and Sean Lamass, had dissolved the Dáil while the House was not sitting. and the Irish Rugby Football Union has said it has no interest in acquiring the share of the Aviva Stadium owned by the Football Association of Ireland. Irish Rugby's governing body confirmed that it does not want to buy the 42.5% stake in the ground held by the FAI after meeting officials from the Department of Transport, Tourism and Sports yesterday. Recent statements about the FAI revealed it had liabilities of $55 million at the end of last year in accounts disclosed earlier this month. And finally, remembering 100 years ago on December 21, 1919, armed IRA men stormed the Irish Independent offices and held staff at gunpoint. At one stage, according to IRA man Dan Breen, the volunteers wanted to shoot editor Timothy Harrington, but decided against it. Instead, they smashed machinery there. The declared aim, according to Breen, was to cause so much damage that no edition could appear for some time. But the paper was back on the street the following day, carrying a full report of the IRA raid with the headline, Armed Men Raid the Irish Independent. The report began shortly after 10 o'clock last night. A body of men, estimated at about 50 in number, some of whom were masked and all armed with revolvers, visited the Irish Independent printing offices at Middle Abbey Street and Liffey Street, held up the entire staffs and wrecked practically all the valuable machinery on the premises. Certainly the revolutionary period was a dangerous and precarious one for the editor and staff of the Irish Independent, where I worked for over 30 years. Have a wonderful Christmas. It's sunny here for most of the day, and it's at 46 degrees. Sláinte gaoth, Galair.
Thank you very much, Kevin, and a happy Christmas to you too, and thank you for all the news.
Yeah. Okay, take care.
We want to thank Kevin O'Connor there for the news and sports from Ireland.
The boys had two little toys. Each had a wooden horse. Gaily they played each summer's day. For years old, of course. One little chap then had a mishap. Broke off his horse's head. Wept for his toy. And cried with joy when his young playmate said, "You think I would leave you crying when there's room on my horse for two? Climb up to Jack and stop you crying. I can go just as fast with two. When we grow up, we both be soldiers, and our horses will not be." Bravely they marched away. Cannons roared loud, and in the mad crowd, wounded and dying lay. Up goes a shout, a horse dashes out, up from the ranks so blue. Gallops away to where Joe lay, then came a voice he knew. Did you think I would leave you dying when there's room on my horse for two? Climb up here, Joe.
This next song tune runs, I think, very appropriate as a princess back to 1915.
1915 on Christmas Day, on the Western Front the guns all died away, and lying in the mud on bags of sand, we heard a German sing from no man's land. He had a tenor voice so pure and true. The words were strange, but every note we used, soaring o'er the living dead and dying. A German sang of peace from no man's land. Their trenches and wheelless hearts,
beneath them hats, the smiles bloomed like wildflowers, with photos, cigarettes and pots of wine.
We built a soldier truth on the front line. Yes, we know was a lot of 21.
Cherish the ladies. Whatever you come up with. Yes. think we can join you know, Johnny and Madden and cherish the ladies as we send our warmest greetings to each and every one of you. So just, don't you don't know, we're not going to wait yet. All right, the season of love and kindness and goodwill. And James Galway, I think he's going to invite a couple of people to join him here for Galway. And James, is there any way you could get a couple of people to join you there? Okay, yes. Cecilia Domingo, yes.
Perhaps love is like a risky play, a shelter from the storm. Did it seems to give you comfort, did it serve to keep you warm? And evil signs of trouble when you are most troubled, the memory of love will bring you home.
Perhaps love is like a window, perhaps an open door.
Boy, that doesn't sound like John Denver.
It is. It wants to show you more. And even if you lose yourself and don't know what to do, the memory of love is
you. Oh, the sun is like a cloud, storm as strong as steel.
For some way of living, for some way to see.
And someday love is holding on, and someday let it go. And someday love is everything, someday let it go.
from the lot of you there. All right. All right, James Galway. Wishing.
Thank you.
big chains go away there. Ah, yeah.
As I sat in the window last evening, the letterman brought it to me. Had it was his dad's invitation, saying, "Gil, who'd you come over to tea?" Well, I knew that the Fogarty sent it, so I went just for old friendship's sake. The first thing they gave me to tackle was a slice of Miss Fogarty's cake. There were plums and prunes and cherries, there were citrons and raisins and cinnamon too. There was nutmeg, cloves and berries, and a crust that was nailed on with glue. There were caraway seeds in abundance, sure to work up a fine stomach ache. I could count out twice as there ate from the sight of Miss Fogarty's Christmas cake. Miss Mulligan wanted to try it, but really it was of no use. For we worked in it over an hour, and we couldn't get none of it loose. Then Kelly came in with a hatchet, and Murphy came in with a saw. This cake was enough for the powers to paralyze any man's jaw. There were plums and prunes and cherries, there were citrons and raisins and cinnamon too. There was nutmeg, cloves and berries, and a crust of it nailed on with glue. There were caraway seeds in abundance, should it work up a fine stomach ache. After the cinnamon twice as there is a slice of Miss Fogarty's Christmas cake. Miss Fogarty proud as a peacock, kept smiling and blinking away. So she tripped over Flanagan's brogans, and she spilled the whole brew in her tape. I can hoot it, she says, "You're not eating, try a little bit more for my sake." "Oh no, Miss Fogarty," said I, "for I've had quite enough of your cake." There were plums and prunes and cherries, there were citrons and raisins and cinnamon too. There was nutmeg, cloves and berries, and a crust that was nailed on with glue. There were caraway seeds in abundance, sure to the work of a fine stomach ache. I could give them out twice as their age, and slice them as well for his Christmas cake. Maloney was took me the colic, O'Donnell the pain in his head. Back up, he lay down on the sofa, and he swore that he wished he was dead. And Miss Bailey went into hysterics, and there she did wriggle and shake. And everyone swore there were poisons making Miss Fogarty's cake. There were plums and prunes and cherries, there were citrus and raisins and cinnamon too. There was nutmeg, cloves and berries, and a crust of his nail down with glue. There were caraway seeds in abundance, to work up a fine stomach ache. I can kill a man twice as there is a slice of Miss Fogarty's Christmas cake. I can kill a man twice as there is a slice of Miss Fogarty's Christmas cake.
Very good. Okay. All right. Little Holly and I be down here now. And from her Christmas album. Bring a torch. Thank you. I suppose we would be expected to play Bing Crosby's version of White Christmas, but I'm of the opinion on both sides of the Atlantic that if we haven't heard it at least, you know, 20, 30 times by now, we don't need to hear it at all. But here's Bing Crosby. And I think this is a nice kind of Christmas tune. And for the occasion, he brought on some help.
A newborn king to see, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum. Our finest gifts we bring, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum, rum-ba-bum-bum, rum-ba-bum-bum. Peace on earth, can it be? A years from now, perhaps we'll see. Our finest gateway of glory. Say the day.
Catching on, yeah, because we had, you know, the original version of John McCormick, and then joined decades later by Frank Patterson and a remake, and there we had Bing Crosby with none other than David Bowie. So there you go. All right. Just in case. This is still Elvis Presley, too.
Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you.
Right. Well, let me tell you. We might have to go down to Minute, I think, yes, for this one. Okay. No, it's not Silent Night. It's... Hey, Mama. Okay. The children's choir. Survey was taken in the Irish in the Irish diaspora to see and to find out what would be the most popular song. Well, we could take it from say England in particular. Yeah, England came in with this this one. Okay, and. New Zealand, Australia, and of course Ireland. Here is a song that in a number of very reliable surveys is the song that is most popular throughout the Irish diaspora, throughout the world. The song... it was actually composed by Shane McGann and the Pogues. And, oh my God, about, wouldn't be an exaggeration to say 50, 60, maybe more singers and from around the world decided. to take this on. And here's a very nice version, and this is the Fairy Tale of New York. And I think you'll probably recognize the Irish tenors.
It was Christmas evening in the drum time. An old man said to me, won't see another one. And then we sang the song, the red old mountain dew. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. They've got cars, big and bars, they've got rivers of gold, but the wind goes right through you, so place for the old. When you put my hand on that board, let's see if you promised me Broadway was waiting for me. Your hands are me swinging, Queen of New York City. When the band finished playing, they hauled out for more. And the crew was singing, and all the drums they were singing. We kissed on the corner and danced through the night. And the boys of the NYPD were singing all day. And the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day.
Actually came from Boston just before I left to come to Ireland, and the group up there is called Derby. They're all Irish, and they have a song on, and we're cognizant, of course, that a lot of people who are visiting Ireland at Christmas are also coming back from England. And here's a song from Derby. By the way, the album is called Stagger Down State Street, from Boston.
Cross a bridge on Ackle Island. Land is yours, this land is my land. Lilac on the window,
lasts until tonight. Jokes and smokes and stories, you will be alright. Tears and beers by the ocean till the early morning light. If you ever come back from England, I'll be waiting at the quay. If you do, I wonder if you'd like to see me. I have often thought about you, way things used to be. If you ever come back from England, will you ever come back to me? Nights in Dublin, take the train back home. Cold, white, warm, love and welcome, and be swore we never home. Ballinard in springtime, Hawthorns by the road. Now you've gone and time goes on, but are you gone for good? If you ever come back from England, I'll be waiting at the quay. If you do, I wonder if you'd like to see me. I have often thought about you, where things used to be. If you ever come back from England, will you ever come back to me?
We have heard on high. Well, not yet. How about
banjos we have heard on high? Banjos heard on high.
A Celtic Christmas.
Holidays and Christmas go hand in hand, like lovers and loved ones right throughout the land. Drink and be merry superstition that quiet here. The Yanks and the Irish drinking whiskey and beer. We are happy and proud of our nation, especially when we've all had our fill. The gargle is mighty when you keep it down. Otherwise it's messy for all those around. So drink and be merry, think to those you love. Don't get the jar right, you forget the man above. Come on, ye boys in green, come on, red, white, and blue. Don't forget the firemen and the PD too. They've all got this in common, they know how to celebrate. Suffering in silence, in the bells on Christmas Day. Drink and be merry, think of those you love. Don't get the jar right, you forget the man above. It's the one night of the year when the husband is let loose. The wife gives it and says, himself to cook his goose. Reading back is there, wearing his Sunday best, reminding him as he shuts the door, tomorrow he'll have no rest. We are happy and proud of our nation, especially when we've all had our fill. The cargill that might be, once you keep it down, otherwise it's messy for all those around. So drink and be merry, drink to those you love. But don't get the jar right, forget the man above. Come on, ye boys in green, come on, red, white, and blue. Don't forget the firemen and the beadie too. For after all, it's Christmas, comes but once a year. Give thanks and praise to everyone. Celebrate with mighty cheer. Hark, drink and be merry. Think of all you love, but don't get so jarry. You forget the man above. Hark, drink and be merry. Think of all you love. Don't get so jarry. You forget the
Yes, Vaughan and Tyne and there, Paddy and the Yank, and we don't think of the man above. Celtic Woman, song you probably know. Thank you. that just about wraps up our Christmas show. Friends, we want to wish you, without a doubt, make this your best Christmas yet. And of course, if you had loved ones on either side of the Atlantic, if you have any loved ones that indeed are not home, or wherever you call home, if they're away, well, it's the one time of year, I think, we can all be together, if not in person, in spirit. Anya Sheridan joins me from New York City, and all of us from both sides of the Atlantic here again, you know, the Flannelys, of course, the O'Dwyer family, the Byrne, the Kilkelly Byrnes, Durkins from Bohola, and, you know, and of course, from the Sheridan families, you could, my God, Longford, yes, Carrigallen, and to England, and to Mary, Rod, the boys, and to Horick and his family in Canada. So many of us from so many places, you know, again, either if you're at home, and if you're not, well, then I'm sure that you will be thinking very much of home and those who, again, we love. For the last tune of the day, it's, I think it's one that we could all relate to. Friends, from Anya Sheridan, from myself, Adrian Flannelly, from all of us, and in Ireland, in New York City. Have a very happy Christmas.